Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Grand, host of Blog Talk Shedding Light. We've been talking about the inhumane treatment and sentencing of the incarcerated individuals in the United States prisons. We have talked about several times over and over again. We brought people on from other countries. We brought people on who were former correctional officers. We brought people on that were former politicians. We brought people on that had their own organizations now fighting for justice in the United States prison facilities. We have people caged like animals and forced to share small cells with other individuals. In spite of the fact that we have mass incarceration in this country, prisons are full. People are being sent to prison with all kinds of mental health, all kinds of addictions. We have counselors convicted in behind those prison walls, and we have first-time offenders, and we have victims who became offenders that are filling the prisons of the United States of America. We know that this country is the only country in the world with mass incarceration, the only country in the world. We have people that are serving life and life without parole sentences, people that are on death row, people that have no hope. These are human beings. And we talk about cultures. Well, when we talk about cultures, we're not just talking about race. We're talking about cultures in age groups. We're talking about cultures in the communities versus those that are homeless, those that are in prison, those that are even in your own homes. Because no two people, even under your own roof, exactly the same. We have culture and the children. And a lot of times, all of these things conflict with one another. So we have to look at all aspects of life, all aspects of why the prisons are full. We have people who have grown up in poverty-stricken areas, those grown up in wealthy communities. And we have those who have grown up without any sins or any father or mother in the picture, whereas others were blessed to have both parents in wealthy communities where they were able to get away with so much until they actually did something that was so traumatic, that was so devastating, their parents couldn't get them out of the situation in which they were involved. We have people in the poverty-stricken mothers, drug-infested areas, with people to relate to who were much like themselves. And a lot of times that's where gang members are formed, with young people that have no role models, that have no one to turn to when they are going through so much. So they turn to another. And with all the frustration and anger that they carry within themselves, they relate to one another and they get together. And when people get together that are carrying the same kind of internal anger and frustration, nothing good is going to come of it. We need to encourage these young people who are in gangs to use their relationships and the bonding to use it in a positive way to help stop people from going to prison, to fight the injustices. We need people to understand these youth that are going through this, because what we're living in today, adults can't even cope. We're living in so much division in our government and racial equality and so many other areas. If we can't handle it as adults, then we should understand why the young people today cannot handle it. And these people around the country, behind those prison walls, they need to be evaluated individually, because many of them do not belong in prison. They belong in long-term mental health treatment facilities. They belong in substance abuse residential treatment facilities. We should not have 2.3 million people incarcerated in the United States. We should not have them incarcerated behind steel bars and cement floor walls. We should be in appropriate, effective people inside the government seems to think that all the money going into the prisons is the solution, is the answer to their problems, when in fact what it's doing, it's getting them off the hook. Our government leaders, put them in prison, let them continue to be put in prison, then we don't have to think about anything else. We don't have to put our minds to thinking of logic alternatives. We live in a country that's so dysfunctional, and our lawmakers don't have any other solution to keep on them in prison. We're the only country in the entire world with such high mass incarceration. Every other country in the world has the solution. We've had people from this country going over to and other countries in Europe to find out why they are successful in their incarceration. They don't have mass incarceration. The maximum sentence in all these countries is 25 years or less for any crime, unless it's terrorism, serial killing, and mass murders. Other than that, people are not serving this. Their recidivism in other countries is very low to nothing. While we have such a high recidivism rate in the United States of America, tell me, how can that be? And if our lawmakers think that they're doing the right thing, they're not. They shouldn't be in office if the only solution they have to crime is to keep filling the prison, keep them in the prison. And once they get into prison, they're being rehabilitated, being made worse, because drugs are still going on in the prison. When you go on the internet and type in guards caught smuggling drugs into the prison, you're going to see where these drugs are coming from. They always talk about the drugs coming in through friends and family. You think about the abuses going on in the prison. When you think about these suicides going on and the alleged suicides, which turn out sometimes, when you think about all these things going on behind those prison walls, the deprivation, provocation, not a pilot project they did in the other countries, I think we need to start a project in this country to try to imitate the way things are done in other countries. Start a pilot project and let the prisoners pay the guards that they want and the prison officials that they want to oversee this project or these projects in the United States. Let them pick the guards and let them pick their officials, because they know which guards are trustworthy. Yeah. When they try anything and they put in all these corrupt guards and officials and it doesn't work, the DOC, the Department of Corrections, can say, we told you it wasn't going to work. How do we know it didn't work or it wasn't going to work when we don't even know, when we don't even realize people that are overseeing these incarcerated individuals? I'm going to let you talk just for a few minutes, and I'll be right back. And many other communities around the country wondering why the prisons are so full, wondering why rehabilitation is not as effective as it should be, wondering why there are so many suicides, why there are so many riots going on throughout the country at times in the prisons, why the food strike. People incarcerated are crying out to have a voice. They're asking all of you and every one of us to help them, to be the voice for them that they are not. We need to start looking at the injustices going on in the country. Audience, I just want to reiterate that unless we do something about all these injustices, all these things going on, we won't see changes in the United States prisons. And we are being looked at by people around the world. And they're wondering why we can't be with other countries, with their countries. They're wondering why we are having so much in the United of America. And to be truthful with you, many of us as advocates, American citizens, and also as families who are, we don't understand why the United States government thinks follow suit with other countries who seem to have a low recidivism rate, who seem to be successful in their incarceration, who do not have mass incarceration, and also who do not have life and life without parole or death penalty sentences. So I would like you as the audience to listen in to what we are discussing in a few minutes. I'm going to also introduce my co-host, Dorothy Pagano, whom many of you know listening into the show, who is also working with me and others. We have something going on in June. It will make a big difference. We ask you to join us in this June event. So we are going to be talking about the harsh treatment and sentencing of the incarcerated individuals in the United States, why there are more than 2.3 million, the highest rate in the world, with New Hampshire, Maine, and I believe Washington, D.C., ranking in the top three for safety. Caged like animals and forced to share small cells with another individual or individuals are our incarcerated population. And if they must spend life behind inhumane prison walls, they should be allowed to have their own single cells. We should not be packing them in sardines because of prisons for profit, because of these large corporations that are making money off the blood, sweat, and tears of these individuals behind the walls. While these individuals are working and making less than a dollar a day, these big corporations are making hundreds of billions of dollars selling their products for $100 or more, while prisoners are making a dollar a day. We're going to be talking about a lot of these things, and you as the audience are welcome to join us, to call. And the number is 657-383-1630. You're welcome to come on. You're welcome to talk about it. If you have your opinions you'd like to state, if you want to criticize, please do. If you want to talk about your own situations, please feel free to do so. We are open for anyone that wants to have a voice, anyone wants to shed some light. So again, I'm going to now introduce you to Dorothy Dagdown, my co-host, an advocate, and also a mother of an incarcerated child as well. So, Dorothy, would you like to tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Sure. You're breaking in and out a lot, Leona.
I don't know what this is happening, but I believe there's interference, not by us, by the show itself, but I think it might be by people in government or elsewhere. Do not want the truth to come out. So if you can hear me, Dorothy, please feel free to talk because I can hear you clear.
Okay, I can hear you in and out, but I'll do the best I can. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us at Talk Radio. It is a pleasure beyond any words. What we are going to be doing in June of 2023, try to abolish life without parole, life sentences, mass incarceration, mental illnesses, and also voting rights that we feel is, it's not just a privilege, it is an honor that they are allowed to vote, and that has been taken away. The U.S. Constitution forbids any execution going beyond mental illness, and not one person is abiding by that. I don't feel a lot of people don't know what is worded in the U.S. Constitution. And when I found out, I was simply amazed that they forbid execution for any mental illness individual. And that has been going on with Governor Abbott and also several others. And it's a crying shame when mental illness is so, it is so high in the institutions. We have to address it. We have no psychologists. We have no therapists that need it very badly to get a say-so, to talk, to let them know what is going inside their minds and their bodies, what they have gone through as children into adulthood. A lot of this has been taken away. Please help us be their voice. They have no one. Be their voice and help them have a better life and come into society. You can reach me at dgeneangel04@yahoo.com. You can also call me at 215-800-9595. I have a son in a Pennsylvania prison that's doing life without parole. What can be accomplished giving life without a parole? The judges give 3 life sentences. What do they expect? Someone to live to be 300, 400 years old? That's unheard of. No one needs 3 life sentences and 300 years on top of 3 life sentences. I'm sorry. No one lives that long. Let's give them 25 years and reestablish rehabilitation, working, and show that they are a human being. They're not just a number. They are a human being. Let's treat them as such. I have been in the system for 25 years, going on 26, and I've seen a lot of abuse, racial situations, hate, crimes. That does not just go with the gang members, but also with the correctional officers that are very rude to our loved ones that are human beings. When you get respect, you give respect. It works both ways. If you want respect, then you show respect. Our children, our loved ones, whether it is a son, a daughter, a husband, a boyfriend, any kind a title that you want. They are human beings. Treat them as such. It's bad enough they live in a cubbyhole, have the use of going into a bathroom privately. They have to share it. The bed cots are a mattress not even 2 inches high that they sleep on. The food is atrocious. Medical. I have to pay a copay for my son to go to doctor and also for medication. This is unheard of. He pays more of a copay than I pay for out in the street. The DOC is getting their pockets so full of money that there is nothing left for our loved ones. The DOC comes first. The heck with the loved ones. That's all I have to say. And Leona, thank you for allowing me to share my views. People, please stand up. Be their voice with us. We are going to work very, very hard. We're going to do mass writing. We're going to do mass calling. If you just call 5 people opinion, what is going on? Our voice will help. All we ask, 5 calls a day. Let's get over 15,000 people to help us with June 2023, the whole month of June. We can accomplish this. We need your help. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy. And you pulled out some really interesting topics there, because there's so much of that going on in the prison.
Oh, let me voice one more thing. In the
please.
State of South Carolina, and I'm not proud of it, do not need a permit to have a gun. That's the new law. The same damn law is in Florida. Our children are picking up guns. They don't need to have a gun in their hand. There's enough violence in this world. We don't need any more. And when you don't have to have a registered permit, this is total BS. And I mean BS, capital BS. We have to straighten that out too. 5 and 6 year olds going to school, shooting up teachers and young mates, class schoolmates in their class, and they didn't even have a life of their own to start with, and they're being charged as an adult murderer. How the hell can an 11-year-old be an adult murderer and have a life without parole? Just because you have a damn robe on the back of your back doesn't mean you're God. God doesn't judge. Why the hell should we have judges that are judging the way they are with these mass sentences? Let's stop. Let's think what is going on before you put the hammer down and say life without parole or a life sentence penalty or execution. Let's wake up, people. Please, let's not have diarrhea of the mouth. Let's put our mouth where it's going to work and change what needs to be changed. Thank you.
I'm glad you brought that up about the being able to buy a weapon without having it. I see that in the text messages today in Tampa, Florida, coming as it says, come as of July 1st, permitless carry will be legal in Florida after Governor Ron DeSantis signed the bill into law on Monday. This Governor Ron DeSantis seems to be the evil of many evils. I tell you, when some people consider Ron DeSantis and others like him to be okay, to be right, because they say, well, what does that mean if we get rid of the guns? What does that mean? It's giving us, making us into crime, to be in shock. It doesn't. Because if people have friends, if people are friends with others, they don't have to worry about friends hurting them. If we all treat everybody the same way, we wouldn't have to worry about people shooting us. We wouldn't have to worry about the crime rate being high. We have people in this country that have such freedom that they hate people without a cause. They hate people they don't even know. If they were to befriend people, if to treat those people like they're, as this is your neighbors, but it's not talking about the person next door. When it talks about being good to your neighbors, treating your neighbors, they're talking about everybody in the world. And unfortunately, there's so much hate in this country, as you mentioned. It caused so much division. We have hatred in government. We hate people without even knowing them because of their culture, because of their race, because of whatever it might be, looking at one another's throats. And here, these are the people that are supposed to be leading this country. We're supposed to trust our government. No one in this country really trusts the government anymore. So what you mentioned, Dorothy, makes so much sense. this is something that we've been trying to get out to the public for some time now. And this coming June, all of these injustices, we're inviting all of you. When we make these mass calls, letter writing and emails to the media, to the government, to the governors as well. Now, we have people in this country that report news, all one-sided news. These are reporters. They can go to other countries when wars are going on. They can go to other countries to take the news, to get the news, to find out what's going on, to report back to the United States and around the world. But yet they can't go to the United States prison in their own country and find out what kind of wars are going on in their own country behind those prison walls. Logic, wisdom. That's what people need to use. The wisdom that they've been gifted with, if they've been gifted with wisdom at all. But if we can have reporters from the United States going to other countries, another one, getting involved with other countries' business when we have so much corruption, so many issues in this country that need to be addressed. The Third Amendment in the Constitution mentions people with mental illnesses should not be executed. Even though it hasn't really fully read the Constitution, absorbed what it said, they're completely ignoring it. We have a government getting involved right now in women's issues when every woman should have the right to do what they decide to do with their own body. Talk about countries with these Muslims and others prevent their women from doing anything. Yet, right now, they're trying to do the same thing in this country. Women have the right to make their decisions about want to do with their own bodies. And even the GOBC, between them and God, that should be a government. If you nothing, nothing mentioned about what they should or should not do. And look back to the military, the United States military, years ago, before any of the discussion came out about GOBCs, think about all the people that were in the military fighting for this country, as they say, committees, communities. But nothing was ever said because nothing was ever known. So now it comes out, and all of a sudden they start talking about these people can't join the military. Hello? They were in the military for years, and years and years and years. And there were no issues. Talk about a lot of things. We have a government right now that's talking about a lot of things that has nothing to do with them. Focus on the capital. Focus on the domestic terrorism. Focus on the individual or double cell when they're given life and life without parole sentences. Living a life in a small, tiny cell. Focus on things that matter. And things are supposed to be dolled to our government. Don't use your abilities. Don't use your titles. Don't use your uniforms. Don't use your power to interfere in the lives of people that are minding their own business in this country and that are making their own decisions regarding health or their bodies. I say these are people, years ago, they didn't have to worry. So why all of a sudden they have to worry about this because of the current government that we have leading this country to many rules and regulations. Dorothy Jean spoke on a lot of things that make sense. If you, audience, really absorb what you were listening to. And yes, to worry about crime. We have to worry about crime because it's out there. Why is crime on the rise? Crime is on the rise because what's going on the outside with the hearts and minds and souls of the individuals and the government, people with power and uniforms and titles, people from a community versus those poverty-stricken communities. Think about it.
people are hurting, and no one else is going to. When I pray at night and in the morning, I pray for everyone. I don't pray for just certain people, but I pray for everyone, and that includes all of you, because I know that all of you are probably going through something yourselves. But if you can get inside something you're going through, think about others, regardless of their culture, regardless of their gender. Think about others who are going through just the same. They're hurting too. And if we showed more compassion towards one another, I don't think that we'd have to worry about guns. I don't think we'd have to worry about crime escalating. People are seeking and searching for others to understand their pain. Everybody goes through pain. And those behind prison walls, many of them suffer from traumatic experiences that happened to them as children or adolescents. Many of them growing up without role models. Many of them have mental illnesses, addictions. We have to look at these individuals. We have to look at what's going on in our own lives. We have to dig into our own internal being to see what's causing to hurt. And letting ourselves in other people's shoes and letting them put themselves in our shoes. There was a time I was watching a show one time where this man had a heart attack or something happened to him where a citizen, a person walking by saw it and performed CPR on him before the ambulance got there and saved his life. While in the hospital, the son went to see him. This is his father. That was with him is the one that saved his life. When the father saw that that person was of color, he said he should have let me die. This is how much hatred can be an individual. For what reason? Because this is the way they were mostly brought up. Hate. And many people don't even know why they hate others. And those out there that are so wealthy, perhaps sharing some of your wealth with the very people you look down upon might help. It might make you feel good. It might make them feel good. And it might bring you a new friend, because that's what it's all about in this country. People are afraid because of what they're being fed. Media portrays the worst they can be. DA, District Attorney, to put fear in the lives, in the minds of all of you. We know it's crowd. Sometimes they blow them so far up. You know, there was an individual, I noticed one time, a person, and this person looks totally different. It looked like the same person, but looked mean. He had on a ratty top. You know, they made him look so bad because they wanted to portray him as being very, very evil. And in fact, the person they were showing had been in trouble before. The person they were showing was a college student that had a breakdown. But yet, when people see it on the internet, they look at this person. Think this person as being an evil person, a satanic person, fearful, something that they have to be the case. And this is what we have to look for. Because it's happening on prison, they think it's in the hole. That's their ideologically sick mind. But we know better, and we need to put a stop to all of this. And I'm hoping and praying that all of you listen, that you will get involved, make a positive change in this country. Again, we're the only country in the world that has these kind of problems, and yet we have our president going over to other countries to tell them how to live. We have other people going over to their country to see why they're so successful in prison, the way they operate, the sentencing they provide. But very people come back to the United States and do nothing with what they've learned. Because we come from a society in this country where people don't want to feel that they're wrong. They don't want to feel as though they're doing something from another country when it's not getting credit to them. It's being credit to the countries that are showing them and teaching them. We live in a country that has to be the first in things. And yet, in the eyes of others around the country, around the world, they're not the first in anything. The United States now is looking at it on those maps with the world trade, with the people around the world. The United States is not looking at it at all. We need to do something about mass incarceration. We need to do something about religion in this country. We need to do something to mend, to help it, to rehabilitate, reform. We need to come together so we can all be at peace with one another, that we can live and work in harmony, that we don't have that hatred. I know one thing, I feel good, and Dorothy can probably attain to this. I feel good when I'm interacting with people. A normal, caring, anxiety rises up when I'm interacting with people on a very stressful level. Anxiety, because you can sense other people have a problem with you or with someone else. You can sense all of these things, and it only rises our anxiety. It only gets us more stressed out. But when you're doing something good, interacting with decent people, with caring people, compassionate people, it's totally different. The feelings are totally different. You can feel it. Dorothy, I'd like to have your feedback on that. We really... We really need to look at these things. We really need to look at these things. Dorothy, I don't know if you could hear what I was saying.
No, you're breaking in and out. And I think it's not... our radio station, I think it's people playing around.
The devil never wants the truth to come out, and the devil never wants to see people.
They don't want us to succeed, but we're going to succeed. Lucifer can't get us.
That's what it is. It took me a long time this morning to this afternoon to actually get the show started because I was having problems. Everything was going fine until 10 minutes before the show was to start. And everything was going anywhere. And this happened before. And as you said, I want everybody in the audience to hear this because this is the truth. We are living amongst good and evil. Good and evil spirits. And we're going to have opposition. We're going to have interference in our lives. There's going to be so much going on. The evil forces do not want to see peace and tranquility, harmony. They don't want to see love. They don't want to see things happening. So they will keep this country divided unless we, as citizens of the United States, keep coming together in unity for the change. And I guarantee if everybody joins us in June to do these things, I guarantee all of you will see changes occurring as well in the country. We've been hearing the concerns, the issues. If any of you seen it on Facebook, seen the question, I've also been sending out contacts, the information for the media, for the legislative members, governors in every state. We've been sending out the emails, the addresses, the telephone numbers. If you think of anything else that needs to be addressed, add it to the already listed that are out there. Add it. Add your concerns. And if any of you have any contact information that you want to add to our already out there contacts, please do. Because we're going to see change in the year 2023. When people get involved, the more chance of robust success we will have and what we're planning to do. Last call, corporations are making money off the incarcerated individuals. They're making a lot of money. So we need to go on there. We need to register them, email them, call them, or even give some bad reviews so that they will know that we are serious about our concerns. We can do it and be a part of it. This will also be a historical change. This will also be a historical moment when this is a success and we start falling in sync with the successes of all other countries. All it takes is people who have the same mindset as ours in this country being here. They don't call their incarcerated individuals by numbers. They call them by name. They don't treat them as servants. They treat them as acquaintances. They act like hardcore criminal overseers. They act like social workers, friends, and mentors. And that's what we need to do. We need to treat the incarcerated as human beings, and we have to act like mentors in addition to being loved ones, family members, whatever the case may be. Audience, to please listen, join in, please continue to listen, call in with suggestions, whatever the case may be. We're inviting you to have a voice as well. Invite you to help us to prepare for June and exactly who we need to target or who we need to call to or email. Again, people like Ron Sanders out here in big bold leadership, they should not be held accountable for anything they do because they have power. It's shocking to them. They are called and they're questioned on the injustice that they do. All of a sudden, it becomes a big thing when it's happening to them. And they want the world to know that so they can be pitied instead of being charged and sentenced as other people in the communities. We are human beings, and no one's above the law, as we say all the time. We have many people that feel that they are above the law because they're in politics, because they're wealthy, because they're famous. They're still human beings like the rest of us. They should still be held accountable. And many of them got their wealth from corruption, lies, deception. These are real criminals. And those behind the prison walls need to be needed to be evaluated on an individual basis, not stereotyped. Not stereotyped by a society that prejudges without knowing all the facts. Not by a media that only reports one side of stories. But everyone, because there's two sides to every story. Sometimes three. It's the reason for many people who have committed crimes, whether it be the mental health issues, whether it be the addictions, whether it be the traumatic experiences that they've gone through in the past, whether it be in self-defense, whether it be wrongfully convicted, whatever the case may be. I'd like to say one last thing. People who have been diagnosed with antisocial behavior, this seems to be the norm. The contracted prison providers, such as welfare and others, when they do their evaluation around the country, you're going to find many who have been diagnosed as such, antisocial behavior, because that's a label prisoners seem to be not suitable to be around others. This is people incarcerated for this prison profit. not the military that are diagnosed with PTSD. But there are thousands and thousands of prisoners who have PTSD from their traumatic experiences, from what they're going through in life. And yet those are the ones that are getting diagnosed with antisocial behavior. Drawn because they have learned not to trust anyone. The ones that have failed because they trusted someone should not have failed. It doesn't mean they're antisocial. It means they're extra cautious. We have to look at those that are in for schizophrenia, those that are for bipolar, people incarcerated that have illnesses that are not being treated properly because of contracted prison providers. The Department of Corrections uses cheapest to have work with them in the prison, work with the prisoners. And that's why so many prisoners are currently damaged psychologically, physically, and even spiritually. Because once that happens, they have no hope. They feel as though they have been violated all over again. Many of them permanently damaged, can't even defend themselves. They protect the things they used to do, which makes them more vulnerable. All because of cheap labor, contracted medical providers, psychological providers, and inexperienced, and many of them uncaring, to just do surgery on people they don't have the knowledge of. Only causing more damage to that individual. So again, people go into prison, they're sick, or they're hurting, they commit crimes, they come out, if they come out at all, they come out. If they're going to be in prison, it's called the Department of Corrections. If they're going to be in the Department of Corrections, they should be getting corrected, healed, reformed, eventually released. And if that's not happening, then the Department of Corrections around the country need to reevaluate their own providers. They need to reevaluate their own staff to find out why these things are not coming out successful. Because if anything was being done appropriately, effectively, we would be seeing more people released from prison than we're seeing. We would be seeing more people being released than more people going in and risking life without sentence and penalties. Who are these people in the laws? They disable themselves psychologically or physically? Are they that disabled that they want to make sure that anybody behind those prison walls suffers like they're suffering in their own mental health or their own physical disability? What are your thoughts on that, Dorothy?
Probably the same as yours. And they don't know what rehabilitation is. They think by sitting in a cell, twiddling their thumb, sitting on a half decent mattress, which isn't decent, and learning what they did while entering those walls, that's easy money. We need jobs. We need to train them to do electrical, plumbing, heating, machinery, mechanics. This is what they need, programs, so they can come out into society and make a living rather than on a street corner that they're used to. Let's build them up. Let's not tear them down. There's way too much. They can teach them how to become a barber, cuttery, cooking, men that even do sewing in the federal prison. I don't know about the state, but they make license plates let's go on with these programs. The DOC has the money that is given to them to teach programs, and they're pocketing it instead. They're not giving it to our loved ones. They're giving it to themselves, and that's their profit. I feel that we should not program ourselves of drinking Pepsi and Coca-Cola that feeds into the DO through Pepsi and Coca-Cola. Also, the concessions in the theaters and the sports arenas. I can't think the name of it that does the concession stands. They program into the DOC. And they get money from that. We can't keep on get to these big companies, organizations that is supplying the DOC. We have to learn to do so many different things differently.
You also mentioned the copay. I would like to have you talk about that because the Department of Corrections, when someone goes to prison, they are in the custody of the Department of Corrections.
Honey, I didn't hear anything that you said. You broke out on everything. Can you? Oh, this is awful. Lord. What is going on? I think I know what you're trying to tell me. When your loved one goes in the Department of Corrections behind those walls, they are issued. No, I can't hear you, hon. You have faded completely out. Never had this. No, hon, I can't. Oh, this is ridiculous. Is there anything we can do? And only a few words come out.